Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, March the 18th, 2021, a few days away from spring, 15 minutes past the hour. Don't forget, Glenn Coble will be on the air when I go off the air this morning from 10:10 a.m. until 12 p.m., and then Swap Shop today from 12:10 to 1 p.m., and the Adam the Computer Guy show today, 2:10 to 3 p.m. Go ahead, caller.
Sour cream glaze.
Not sour cream glaze, but we definitely are getting closer. It's not, I guess the hint I'm going to give is what I said to the one caller earlier. It's not a donut you can buy in a grocery store that I'm aware of.
So not an apple fritter?
No, not an apple fritter. Is an apple fritter a donut?
I don't know. At this point in time, like, I just don't even know what's going on. Like, man, I think we've said everything.
No, there's definitely one that has not been said. Well, there's a few that haven't been said. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite donuts has not been said as of yet.
Wow. Plain? Just plain donuts?
Now, I'm not saying this to be facetious, but what is a plain donut? Is that like a plain cake donut or a plain...
Okay, so for a little while, not like years and years and years, but for a short while in my life, I worked at Tim Hortons, and that they would have like just plain cake donuts. They just, you don't even put cinnamon and sugar or anything on them. They're just, you just fry them up, and that's that.
Well, you might have some insight into this then. If I wanted to make a glazed donut and I did not put glaze on it, because you know glazed donuts are kind of fluffy, so if they're not cake, so if I put, how would I make a glazed donut without the glaze?
A glazed donut without the
because I like that texture of a glazed donut.
Just make the donut and then not put the glaze on.
But what, would that be a plain donut?
I don't know. Well, I don't know, like, across the board what everyone's idea of a plain donut is, but I just know at Tim Hortons it was like a cake donut, but like I said, you didn't put anything. No, there was no glaze, no cream, sprinkles, cinnamon, sugar, nothing. It was just, You know how there's always, like, that one choice, just like in Girl Scout cookies, what is it called, tree foils or whatever, and all it is just, like, a plain, like, butter cookie or something like that, and you're just like, wow, why bother? If I'm going to get fat, it's going to be all something ooey, gooey, sticky, creamy, something like that.
Now, do you think that those plain donuts sell?
Well, they definitely weren't, like, you know, no. I mean, obviously someone's buying them, or they wouldn't make them, but they weren't, like, the top sellers.
You know something I've always thought about donuts, especially when you go into a donut shop, different than when you would go through a drive-thru, is that I think the decoration on the donut really sells the donut. Because if you have, sprinkles, for example, sprinkles do not have a taste. So, if you're putting sprinkles and, like, pink icing, well, pink icing doesn't taste any different than green icing.
Right. So if, it's just like that green beer on St. Patrick's Day. That tastes no different than the regular, just, you know.
Well, now, yesterday, somebody said it flattened the beer.
Oh, well, I'm not a beerologist, but I've drank my fair share back in the day, and I didn't think there was any different.
No, just a little,
you know, you eat with your eyes, Scott.
Little food coloring.
Yeah,
well, you know what, somebody...
Yeah, look appealing, then.
Well, you know what? Somebody told me one time, and I'll use donuts for an example. I can't remember what example they used, but that donuts are for the mouth, and vegetables are for the body.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I tell you what needs to be outlawed. Have you ever... Okay, I don't know how you say this, but what are those prepackaged donuts, and the name of the company starts with a P? It's like Paxi or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're... What are those?
I got a hold of a box of this one time, and I wasn't paying attention, and I sunk my teeth into one, and it was prune.
It's a prune donut?
No, well, they make different kinds, but...
Pazaki. Isn't it Pazaki?
I Trust me when I say I'm not even going to touch that one. I thought I said Akzai, but that's, I probably just butchered it. I don't know what nationality that family's name is, but it's way over my head.
Well, I tell you, Pizzaki donuts are not the
what are we going with? How do you say it?
I think it's Pizzaki.
Yeah, we'll do that. But it was prunes. I thought, why would you even make such a thing?
Oh, there's prunes. I've never had one of those. There are prunes inside of them.
You can get, there are many different flavors. You can get any kind of, it's just fruit-filled donuts with, like, icing on top. But that particular day, I got a hold of a prune one, and I just thought, no thanks.
See, I've never had any Pizzakis. Are they sold any other place than Kroger?
That's, come to think of it, yes, because I had a friend who worked at Meijer's, and she got me a box of them one time. So, yes, they are.
I see them sold all the time, and I always wondered what the great appeal of a Pizzaki was.
Well, I know if you need help, there's one particular kind that can help you if you're having a certain type of trouble.
Apparently, clear you right up, the old Pizzakis.
Okay, bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, I think it's Pizzaki. Does anybody know? You know, it's P-A-Z something or another. The question that we're starting off here with is Marion's favorite donut, which we've been trying to do for 2 days now, and we still don't have. We've had guess after guess after guess. But I guess the clue would be it's not sold in a store. I've never seen it sold in a store, Marion's favorite donut. It would be something you would have to go to a Dunkin' or a Tim Hortons or a Starbucks to get, or a donut shop in general. I don't know if we have any other donut shops here in town, but I don't think I've ever seen it sold in a store. But as soon as I say that, somebody will call in and say yes, they are sold in a store. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
It's not a Pizzaki donut. It's a Punchki.
Punchki?
Yeah, Punchki.
Punchki.
It's a Polish donut.
Now, it's a Polish donut.
It's a Catholic thing for Fat Tuesday. That's when they usually come out here every year. You get all of your junk food eating out of the way before Lent.
Really? So it's a patchki?
Yeah, a punchki.
Oh, punchki.
Yep.
A punchki, and it has something to do with the correlation of Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a Polish pastry, like Polish, Catholic, Hungarian, like from that nationality.
Now, if you're trying to get everything out before Lent, I mean, why? What's the difference between a Polish donut and a regular donut?
Oh, it's just a tradition for them. It's just what they would have eaten in Poland.
Now, like what is there a difference between a regular donut and a punchki?
I think they have more of a crunch to them. Like they taste more crispy than regular donuts do, I think, but maybe I'm crazy.
Now, do you like the punchkis?
I do buy a box every year.
Well, I see them flying off the shelf, and I was not sure if there was some kind of a different makeup to them than regular donuts.
No, they're basically the same, maybe prepared a little different. It's just an ethnic type thing, I guess.
Well, that's interesting. Do you have a guess on the favorite donut?
Man, I can't even think of any more kinds of donuts, to be honest. I don't have a guess.
Well, thanks for the correction on the punchki. So it's a Polish donut in a Polish word.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thank you.
No, no problem. See you later.
All right, punchki donuts are what those things are. So next time you're at the grocery store and you see them there and you want to buy them and you want to ask the clerk for the donut, you just say, give me the punch key, and now you'll sound smart because you'll know what the donut's name is. Go ahead, caller.
Or is it a proper noun?
It very well might be.
Let's talk about donuts today about.
Well, it all started yesterday, and I forget why we got on the conversation of donuts, but heckin' the question, what is Marion's favorite donut? And we did it for 4 hours yesterday, and we've now done it for five, and we still don't have it.
Hmm. Gee whiz. I was going to say Tom Matthews, or John Matthews. John Matthews.
Well,
when you went to Ohio State, you went to main campus, right?
Yeah, some. Well, both. I did local and main.
Yeah, both. You remember Buckeye Donuts?
You know, I do, but I can't remember if I ever tried one.
I'll tell you, we'll do a... I'll make an early run down there and bring some up. Their regular cream-filled stick is twice the size of what you get around here. And they have a maple bacon, two strips of bacon on top of a cream-filled stick. And, you know, some people... You know, it might be advisable to have a whole vial of insulin after having a donut or two.
And maybe some cholesterol medication.
They've just incredible stuff. I mean, they're unbelievable. We'll figure out some morning we can do a tribute to donuts, and I'll bring a dozen Buckeye donuts in.
Well, I tell you, donuts are interesting because obviously a lot of people eat them. We have three donut shops on the same road here in Marion. They're all busy every morning. And stores obviously have no problem selling donuts. But there are so many different kinds, as Buckeye Donuts would point out here. And I remember last year, Stewart's Root Beer Stand, I don't know how it came about, but they started selling a donut hamburger, I think is kind of just something different to do, and they were selling out. They ran out of donuts.
Buckeye Donuts, I believe their food truck had a donut burger.
Yeah, it's interesting the way, and I know people who still go into stores and buy a dozen glazed. Glazed are still very, very popular. And most grocery stores have now put in bakeries, and what do they all bake? Donuts.
Well, nobody bakes their own donuts unless it's Andrew's. I don't think Tim Hortons does. They might, but the majority of them, like Kroger, Meijer, and that, they all come in frozen. They heat them up or fix them there. They don't make them from scratch.
Oh, they're definitely not made from scratch, but not in a box, I guess, is where I was going, you know, heated up in the store. But it's a fascinating subject. And, you know, donuts are not the greatest thing, but everything in moderation, you know.
But you realize why people do that in the morning, don't you?
Stop and get donuts?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's the sugar kick. That and the coffee. It gets your heart pumping.
Well, see, this might have been where we started with this yesterday, was why is there a correlation between police officers and donuts? And we had some calls yesterday, and I'd always suspected this, that the reason there's a correlation between those two is because police officers work a lot of nights, and you're not going to order dinner at 3 o'clock in the morning, and what is open? Donut shops, coffee shops, and what goes good with coffee? Donuts. The caller called in, who I think was either a police officer or auxiliary officer, and said, yeah, that's what they do.
Well, you got the sugar. Now, the sugar tends to put people, make them sleepy, but then the sugar, given that energy, and then on top of that, you've got the caffeine to counter the effects of the sleepiness of sugar. So, you know, it's a 1-2 punch. I mean, you drink a couple of cups of coffee, you're pretty much wired. And look at all of these energy drinks that you see the slobs throwing their cans all over the city, all the different kinds of energy drinks and stuff. So, but no, I will, at some point I'll give you a call. I'll go down to Columbus and pick up some fresh Buckeye Donuts. Check them out online, buckeyedonuts.com. And it's amazing what they have. So
I'll look forward to that. Now, I was catching your message as I was walking in. You know, yesterday morning we did, I think, pretty well most of the first hour on, and it's in the newspaper. I think the hard copy of the newspaper today, it was online yesterday, that the Republican Party was calling for the resignation of Mark Russell, city law director. You know, we just came at it yesterday from the perspective of, I have never seen a more, well, the mayor was on Tuesday morning, and I just have never seen a more contentious time in Marion. People releasing press releases and people using adjectives like I've never seen before about other people and asking for people's resignation. I don't ever remember a time like this, or a condensed period. We see a lot of this during election time, but this is not election mm-hmm. time. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you know, the thing that I find completely disgusting, and it's an abomination, is Robert Schultz, he's the chair of the Marion County Republicans, talking as though that John Matthews, a felon, a man who pled guilty to theft in office, is still hanging around the Marion County Republican Party, and he corrupted Landon. And what kind of leadership is that for Schultz?
Well, here's
to be
what...
totally, you know, aghast at what Russell's doing. How can a leader allow a known felon, a person who ripped off the taxpayers while in office, and he holds him out to be Snow White?
Well, here's what I would say about that particular situation. Because, you know, and we talked about this not long ago, so this started long before a John Matthews conversation, so I want to be consistent on this. It mystifies me that in the state of Ohio, that you cannot run for office if you're a convicted felon at any point in your life. This shocks me, because this tells me that the state of Ohio really doesn't want you to be reformed, because people won't rent to you. I have seen this because I have friends who have been convicted felons more than a decade ago. Still shows up on their record, will not rent to them. It's asked on every job application, and they will not hire you for it, no matter how long ago it was. And now we're telling people that you can't run for office if that's been done. So, you know, I have a big problem with this. Now, was John... I don't think John Matthews' thing went to trial. I think they took...
Oh, yes, he did.
Did it? I thought they took a bargain. I thought they pleaded it out.
What difference does it make whether he pled out?
Well, it didn't go to trial if they pled out. I think they took a deal before the thing ever went to trial.
Well, the fact of the matter is he was convicted of a felony.
Well, this has been years ago now. And
no, it's only been three... not quite 4 years ago.
Well, but see, here's the problem. I remember when Ray Grogan was running for office, and John Matthews was working on the campaign. And the headline in the newspaper, and that's all the story was that John Matthews was working on Grogan's campaign. That was the story, period.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline was something to the effect of convicted felon running prosecutor's campaign. Well, you know what? At some point, we got to let people off the wall here. Because...
Well, it depends. There are circumstances, and each case has to be... Each case is unique.
Well, John didn't kill somebody.
No, here's John Matthews. He took an oath of office. He was held in public trust, and he betrayed that trust. He betrayed it.
Well, I think that John would probably admit that he did something wrong. I think that I believe he did pay his fines and pay the money back that he was court ordered to do. I believe he did his probation, which he was ordered to do. So I just don't know why years and years later that's how we would refer to somebody.
It's not years and years later. It's less than 5.
Well, how many
years
ago
the investigation started?
How many years do we have to wait before we can stop saying it?
Before you can stop what?
How many years have to pass before we can stop referring to people like that?
Well, you know, I don't think there's any statute of limitations or law on the books regarding that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. There's no
law.
Well,
you know, somebody robs you once, and they get away with it. Are you going to let them rob you again?
Well, no, but again,
well,
I can't.
Where'd you go?
Right, but I don't know that. But I don't know that John Matthews has tried to get on the clock and politic on the clock again since this happened, and this thing that just went down with.
Well,
Robert.
He's not supposed to be participating in political what is it? There's an article. It's not supposed to be participating. But the fact of the matter is, recently, after he was convicted of a felony, he's there again in the Republican Party screwing around, okay? And he shouldn't have been. And Schultz should have had enough leadership to say, hey, look, you're bad for the party, man. You're bad for the party. We don't want you here.
Well, here's
That's the only way both parties are going to get better.
Yeah, but here's what I would say about that. And trust me, I'm not John Matthew's attorney or his defender. But the truth of the matter is, if we're saying John Matthews is bad for the party, Republicans have won more elections in the last 4 years, and we're talking about since his conviction, than they have probably ever won in Marion. We do not have a Democratic county commissioner. We, on city council, are split. We have a Republican prosecutor. We have we have a Republican sheriff for the first time in I don't know how long. So to say that and Auditor Landon, this campaign that this was all wound up in, he won, need we forget. And he won by a pretty substantial amount against a sitting auditor who was Democrat. So I don't know we can say John Matthews is bad for the party. If he's still participating, they're winning more now than they have in a long time.
Well, what's that got to do with corruption?
Well, you say he was bad for the party. I'm just trying to figure out how
he's bad for the party. Well, known felon, somebody who lies, who steals from the taxpayer. Come on, Scott.
But
doesn't
I
make
don't
sense. But I agree that it is hypocritical when you know you pay your debt to society, etc., etc. But hey.
Well,
let me ask you this. Is there a statute of limitations on a pedophile? When should we start saying they're no longer a pedophile?
Well, I think there are laws that will alert people in neighborhoods of that crime, and I think that crime is physical danger.
Well, you're kind of skirting it. Tell you what, I got to get going, and I'm sure there's a lot more people that want to talk, so I'll get out of here, but I'll be in touch. We'll do those donuts.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I don't know. And like I say, I am not John Matthews' supporter. I am not here to defend anybody. But yes, he is a felon. That's on the record. You can't get away from that. But I mean, how long do we have to go on referring to these people? They are human beings. And as far as I know, John has done his probation. He's paid the money back that he was supposed to pay back. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what those rules are. Go ahead, caller.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting call, wasn't it?
Well, one minute we're talking about donuts.
I know, it's switched. It's zigzag, doesn't it?
We're talking about friends of mine.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, but I hope this is why we are a true variety show, and sometimes hearing things about friends is not pleasant, but certainly aren't playing calls.
Yeah, well, you know, I just don't, this, you know, really rubs me the wrong way, and I think you understand, and John Matthews has been my friend for years. Bob Schultz has been my friend for years. These are not bad people. These are people that have strong beliefs. So that's all I'm going to say. And for somebody to be so perfect in this life that they point fingers and say there's no, you know, there's no time when persons can be accepted again for something that they did wrong or whatever. I don't know.
Well, it's an interesting, because it's not just, to me, John Matthews. It's not just Judge Warner, who's made a lot of publicity lately. It's, I don't understand. You know, we can make statements. Now, can we say that John Matthews has a felony? He certainly does. That's absolutely
mm-hmm.
factual.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, when the Marion Star runs an article during the Grogan campaign, it says convicted felon running the campaign. That's, you know, I don't understand that, because that's the story. I mean, is that a story? And then I don't understand why Why are we continuing to do this? If you want to find out if they have a felony, look them up. You can figure it out. But I don't know why people are not allowed to move on with their life. I don't know why convicted felons can't run for office if they're out of prison. Are the voters not smart enough? If you don't want a felon, because trust me, in a political campaign, they would bring up that they were a convicted felon. If you don't want a convicted felon in office, don't vote for them.
Don't vote for them.
That's it. So I don't understand why the state is making that decision, and I don't understand why we claim to these are reformatories. Last time I checked, and John Matthews was not in a reformatory. He did, and I'm sure lucky for him, he did not have to go. We won't know what happens with Judge Warner until the 15th, but I think that at some point, you cannot make the statement that they're bad for the party when the party's winning more than they have for many years.
That's right.
Right. And I also think that if we're even talking specifically about that race, the Landon race from 2019, you know, Landon unseated an incumbent. So if indeed John Matthews was working on that campaign, which I don't know if he was or not, I wasn't there, he won. So right. I don't know. I'm not John Matthews' defender. I don't know him that well. I've only met him a couple times. But I don't understand. People can say what they want. And I was a little critical yesterday. I don't understand these press releases, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, calling for Mark Russell's removal, I don't know. I don't know Mark Russell that well. But I read the full press release, and I'm not sure. They say he did what he did for political reasons, but they didn't give evidence to why it was political. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see some evidence, and then we'll decide.
And to kind of take it another direction, there was an article in the paper this morning from DeWine. He is on the Chief Justice, or he's on the Supreme Court. And they were talking about, did you realize that we are the only state in the entire United States that do not put the party affiliation on the general election ballot for judges?
No, I did not know that.
I did not either, and, he was for it, you know, because he said it is on there, obviously, if Judge John Doe was on the primary ballot, on the Republican primary ballot, or on the Democratic primary ballot, then people know that he's, what his party affiliation is. It's just the general election that it's not on there.
Well, what I have come to believe, and I hope somebody does a study in this one day with local, just plain local elections, mm-hmm. is, you know, I don't believe, like the last election we just had in 2020, I don't believe that the majority of people who voted, and I believe I'm right in saying this was the highest voter turnout in Marion County history, it was a presidential year. I don't believe the majority of people who voted, I mean, they voted for the president, and then they went down the row. I don't think the majority of people had any idea who the local candidates were. I think they looked at the R and the D, and they voted that way. And I'm only saying that because if you look at the results, you can almost see that every local Republican got about the same amount of votes. And
well, I wouldn't argue with that because party line, you know, that's not unusual. I have friends who say, now you're going to have to let me know who are, you know, who's on the ballot for the Republicans because that's the way I want to vote. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but in some cases they have their beliefs, they have what they stand for, and they know what party they want to support, so that's the reason, you know, they want to do that.
Well, it was just surprising.
Especially if they don't know the other party, anybody from the other party.
Well, it was just surprising to me, I guess, because this has been a trend since 2016, and honestly, before 2016, when I would cover local elections, that was not the case. If the top of the ticket went one way, you would see splatterings of Republicans and Democrats winning elections locally. Because mm-hmm. I do think people used to vote for the people, and they used to take an interest in who was running, and the political affiliation really didn't bother them on the local level.
Sheriff Bailey won 4 terms as sheriff, and he was a Democrat. And, and those were always presidential years that he ran. And Marion County voted for Trump twice. They voted for Romney once. And I believe they went for McCain. If not, it was very close, back with McCain and Obama. So in all those years when Republican presidential candidates won Marion County, a Democrat, Sheriff Bailey, always won, except for last year. So we did have differences. You know what? Anymore, we don't. A single Democrat did not, and I'm not saying that we should be electing Democrats or Republicans, but it's very peculiar to me with all the offices we had up last year locally, not a single Democrat won. Nobody thought a Democrat was competent for any of those offices?
Well, I think the other is what kicked in, though, was the support for party.
I think it did, and it
kicked in. I think there's no doubt about that, you know.
I just think, you know, nationally, if that's how people want to go, whatever, and state-wise, same thing. But locally, I really think you should know these people, because this is the sheriff that's going to be picking you
well,
up.
You should. And for me personally, I won't vote. If there's someone in my particular party that I do not care for or feel is right, I will not vote for the opposite. I just leave that blank.
Yeah. Well, and this is why I think sometimes, you know, when we get back to things like John Matthews and Judge Warner, nobody is saying what they did is right. Nobody is saying that they didn't do the right thing. And as Prosecutor Grogan, who is a Republican, said last week, you know, he even corrected me. He said it's not a mistake. It was a horrible decision what Judge Warner did. And I agree more with that. I'm probably true. But at some point, we do have to say that are we ever going to let these people off the hook? Now, Judge Warner, he hasn't even been sentenced yet, and that's a rough thing.
Yeah, I think until that happens, that can't be put to bed. You know, people want to see it follow through. You know, when I said that I continued to pray for everybody in that situation. But, you know.
Well, you know, and at the end of the day, everybody is going to have to go on. And everybody's going to have to get along here. And that's what's really... And I don't like this blaming the other party stuff. And I don't like it from either side, because it's just making for such a contentious relationship in this city based on your R or your D that I really don't know. It's going to take a long time to heal these wounds. And
Tempers, man.
And locally, I really never thought I'd see this. Nationally, I mean, you know, you can see that. Locally,
it's boiled right down to the grass.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah. I read some of these press releases, and I hear some of these things people say, and I think, you know, I know some of these people, and I don't think they are what is being said. And I just don't understand. I don't know. It just seems like we're playing national politics on a local level, and that never works.
Well, see, that's what happens when you don't have anything else to do during the COVID.
Well, I guess, and you know, I'll say one final thing about this, because we have covered this $1.28 million with the auditor pretty extensively here. And the truth of that matter is, what bothers me is, I can tell when people give an opinion on that from callers, not from the people involved, the callers. I can tell where they stand politically by the answer they give, and I should not be able to do that. You know, if I am a Republican and I feel the auditor made a mistake, why can't I say that? If I am a Democrat and I feel the auditor did not make a mistake, why can't I say that? But that's forbidden. You have to follow those lines.
I think occasionally I hear somebody come on to give their opinion about things, and I think it sounds as if they kind of more or less just listen to everything they hear, whether whatever it is, and then think, well, I think from what I hear, I don't like this person. But that's why I think it it helps tremendously to study and be aware of what your affiliation stands for, you know, and because there's a lot of people that have been surprised both ways, I'm sure, over the years as to who they've supported, and if they didn't really realize why they supported that person, only because their daddy or their mom had voted for such. But, you know, it's a learning situation all the time, but...
Well, I don't know if I've said this on the air, and I do want to say this because it was a week ago today that Prosecutor Grogan and Sheriff Bales were on, who are both Republicans. I mean, this is not unknown. And Judge Warner was a Republican, and this was less than 24 hours after he was convicted that they came on. And what I will say, those two men knew him personally, had worked with him. Prosecutor Grogan worked with him very closely, and I thought in that moment for both of those men, Grogan and Bales, because neither one of them came on and tried to defend him.
Exactly.
They came on, and a matter of fact, I thought they were both, and it was hard for, you could tell by their voice, it was
hard
because he was their friend.
Uh-huh.
But they came on, and they were quite hard on him. And
they should be, you know, that is important that... I think with the situation, they were still stunned. And when you're in a stunned situation, think I don't have any words. I'm just stunned and shocked, and I don't know why somebody would do.
Well, that's why listening to their tone of voice that morning, you could tell that there was just a lot of sadness. But yet they did come on with less than 24 hours, and they knew what we were going to talk about.
Right.
And they, like I say, they did not go to the party. They did not run to that, because they could have been a lot less candid than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't. They were candid. And I appreciated that.
Uh-huh.
So
I agree.
That's where we are.
Uh-huh.
Well, I say I appreciate the call because I think, you know, hopefully if one thing we are on this program, we try to stay as balanced as we can, donuts or political parties.
Okay, Scott.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 52 minutes past the hour. Don't forget, we've got Glenn Coble coming up 10:10 this morning until 12 noon. Marion's favorite donut, hour number 4 here, and we still don't have the answer. Or if you want to talk about anything else, as we've proven this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, would that be a cream stick?
Not a cream stick, but that's a good one, too. You know what I used to like are those cream horns, but I don't know if that's considered a donut either. No.
Well, I've been listening to it. You know, I like donuts.
I, you know, like I said, the only person who's, and she, I did not give her the answer, was Angie, and so I know it's on people's minds, so hopefully we'll get it.
Well, I think she's a pretty smart woman.
Well, it's in the genes, I think, there. It's
yes,
in the genes.
I think so.
Yes.
Okay, Scott, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What's Marion's favorite donut? That's where we have been this morning. What's Marion's favorite donut? 740-383-9944, 53 minutes past the hour. I couldn't even begin to run down every donut that has been guessed, but maybe it will be. I should write it down on an index card so you know I'm not kidding around. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning.
First off, we keep, or I don't hear mentioned much about our very favorite donut shop would be, where'd that go?
Andrews.
The Turek Center.
Andrews.
Andrews, yes. Now, they're all favorite. Every single one of them's a favorite.
Even the scraps.
Even the scrap. Even, yeah. And then another thing in regard to Judge Warner, such a sad, sad thing, but it can definitely be something you could use for your kids that, you know, look how successful he was and one tiny lack of using his head or whatever, whoever it was, because who knows, that you could tell your kids, see, he went to school all those years, he had that career, and one quick instant, he made a bad decision, which pretty much probably has destroyed his life. And that's just a thing you can use for your kids to say, you know, it does happen, and it doesn't always happen to somebody else. So that's all I got to say.
Well, no, I appreciate it's interesting. It's, you know, it's fascinating to the degree that, as everybody said, and we don't know if they were intoxicated, but if that was the case, if that was the reason they left, a DUI is not a felony.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what happened that night, but it's unfortunate that you're right. A decision made in I don't know panic or whatever it was has cost people very heavily in this particular situation.
Well, and it's kind of like I always told my kids, if you get in trouble, don't try to outrun the cop, because he can outrun you, I guarantee.
That's right. Take your lumps, tell the truth in the beginning, and see what happens.
Judge Judy says, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory.
There you go. Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we appreciate all the calls this morning. I did pretty much wall-to-wall calls since 8:15 this morning. That's pretty good. 740-383-9944. 56 minutes left. Don't forget Glenn Coble when I'm done today from 10:10 until 12 noon. Swap Shop from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And then Adam the Computer Guy, 2:10 to 3 p.m. That's the way it'll go. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I'm giving it one last shot.
One last shot on the donut.
And Eclair.
Oh, not an eclair, but that's a good get. Now, what is an is eclair, is that French?
I'm assuming. I have no idea.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I saw an eclair. Do they sell those at Andrews?
I don't know. I don't know if it's enough to know if they offer them or not.
I know the upcharge is pretty good on an eclair.
I'm sure.
Not an eclair, but a good guess.
All righty. I'll keep listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye. No, not an eclair. But we've been through many, many more this morning. Powdered and eclairs and cream-filled and so many this morning. What is Marion's favorite donut? Now, again, it's more of an undisputed title because it's just I've been with people at three different drive-thrus and seen them order this. And it's been different people, not just the same person. And the grand opening of Dunkin' here in Marion, it's the only donut they ran out of that morning. So I have called this Marion's favorite donut. And the hint I gave at the top of this hour was, it is not one you can get in a store. I've never seen it sold in a store. You would have to go to one of these donut shops to get it. So, what is that donut? With 3 minutes left to go, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or if you want to weigh in on anything else, we've had an interesting discussion this hour about Judge Warner kind of creeped back in there. Republican and Democratic issues here in Marion creeped in. The Republicans calling for the resignation of Mark Russell, our city law director, creeped in this morning. Comments made by Auditor Landon and John Matthews and the Republican Party, Bob Schultz, here in town. So all that's been discussed as well. If you have an opinion on that, you can weigh in. That's the privilege. But we also heard that at some point we're going to get a delivery from Buckeye Donuts in Columbus from one of our listeners. So that will be very good down the road. We'll be looking forward to those Buckeye Donuts, which apparently some come with bacon on top of your donut. And as I said, last year, I remember when Stewart's did their, I don't remember what prompted it, but I think they had donut burgers over there last year. And I think it was a lark, but it ended up being that they were running out of donuts. They were selling so many donut burgers over there at the root beer stand. So, 90 seconds left. Any final guesses on Marion's favorite donut or anything else this morning? I'll be back tomorrow, by the way, I'll be on tomorrow, 8 until 1 in the afternoon, 8 a.m. to 1 in the afternoon. We will have Pastor Steve Whitaker in tomorrow morning from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. and Exchange Club. We might have some guests tomorrow for the Exchange Club. Hard to tell. Who knows what happens day to day here at WWGH Radio, but what we do know is that Glenn Coble will be on when I go off. I believe St. Patrick's Day trivia today is the topic du jour from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. and Swap Shop, selling your junk, from 12:10 until 1 p.m. and Adam the Computer Guy today from 2:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. So here we go. Maybe this is our last donut guess and possibly the correct one. Wouldn't that be something? Go ahead, caller.
I just thought I'd try one last guess if somebody hasn't said it. Boston Cream.
You got it. The Boston Cream Donut. Now, is that not Marion's favorite donut?
Well, I'm not a big donut person, but yes, it's pretty popular.
So where did you pull that out of? Hearing it from people on the street, right? People chanting.
Well, I see a lot of donuts where I work. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, really? So, and now, do you go through a lot of Boston Cream?
Every once in a while, yes, there'll be one in there.
What would you say is the favorite donut where you are?
Probably the cream filled with the nuts on top.
Oh, like the Long Johns.
Yep, Long Johns.
The Long Johns. Well, hey, thank you. Boston Cream, you got it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Absolutely, that was it. Well, how about that? With seconds to go, we got it. The Boston Cream Donut is the one that Dunkin' ran out of on opening day, the only donut they ran out of on opening day, and I have seen this ordered at all. Well, I've seen it ordered at Tim Hortons, Dunkin', and Starbucks through the window. So there you go. That's it. For this day, this is Scott Spears with no Boston Cream Donuts heading for the dugout.
And she says to me, Shecky, I'm everybody's wife. And they had just gotten married, by the way. And she said, beautiful girl. And she said to me, would you like a cup of coffee? I said, I would love it. Thank you. And he says, listen, I went to tell you, don't talk to my wife. That's my wife. You understand? I wouldn't want you to talk to my wife again. That's my wife. And I'm going to kill you. So he says he's going to do what to me? You know.
Oh, man.
And then Ricardo says, I want to tell you, Shaky, with another accent, I want to tell you, don't pay any attention to him. Just pat him on the head 3 times.
And the producer told you that he had a gun.
Oh, he had a gun.
He had a gun.
Yeah, he carried a gun. Well, you know, people, if they went to rob him, they wanted to rob him. They didn't want to rob the money. They'd take him. They'd put him in the...